hard to think that there is a group out there that would sell out their own mankind for a paycheck. And I really don't, I don't know. If it started like that, and that is true, which is like a, such a rumor, right? I can't believe that it would stay that way in the face of all the things that we're seeing and how much GMOs affect the health of our children. Because, you know what, let's face it, military folks, government folks, even biotech folks, they have children. They get that there are problems. Yeah. And I know they even question what they're doing. And I think it's just a matter of time before those folks that are questioning what they're doing really start thinking about the impacts that they're making. I mean, we all leave a legacy. What kind of legacy do we want to leave after our life on Earth, right? And I mean, I have a hard time thinking that it's a bad thing that Blackwater would be paying attention to what we're doing. I think it's genius. I think it's genius if government's paying attention to what we're doing. I hope they are. We certainly aren't getting any talks at the White House. But if they feel like that surveillance is the best way to find out what we're doing, great. Meanwhile, let me tell you about GMOs. Let me tell you how they're affecting the health of the children, my own personal health. I'm not here because I have a sick kid. Most of the other moms have sick children. And that's their dog in the fight. That's how they got involved in this. I mean, we're not activists turned moms. We're moms turned activists. We're doing something because something isn't getting done. The word isn't getting out about GMOs and their health effects. And we're seeing all of these problems in our children. But I'm not here because of my children. I mean, yes, the long-term legacy we leave, but I'm here because it affected me in my life. I became extremely ill. It took over 10 years for me to figure out what it was that was causing all of these seemingly unrelated health effects. And I'm not going to wait another 10 years or 20 years for the scientific community and the government to finally take action and put two and two together. I see it cause and effect in my own life, in my own digestion, in my own health. And I am not going to wait for government to do what I can do today.
Exactly. And so let me stop you quickly and just say we're already talking to Rachel Linden. And actually, what's the best way? Or I don't know if you have a website or if a specific banner.
So I'm Rachel Linden. I'm the director and founder of GMO Free Arizona. And so you can find us on the internet at GMOfreeAZ.org. And we run a grassroots, nonprofit, educational-based organization that's dedicated to educating about genetically modified organisms and their associated risks. And that encompasses a lot of things. It's GMOs. It's the chemicals they come with. And so we spend our days now, or I should say, and sometimes nights and weekends, letting very interested groups of Americans know about what is going on. And we do specialize in Arizona. That's our state. That's where we're from. That's our whole focus is where we're at in our home state. And so we've organized a lot of the activists. We've got them talking to each other. We're all talking about what's happening in our communities, what we're seeing in the lives of our children, our own health. And we decided that we want to tell other people who may have these same health issues and warn them, hey, you know what, this is something you might want to look out for. And it's in omnipresent in just about every meal the average American has. And so, and it's becoming an issue that is very, very difficult to eat around. So the problem is, it's like it's even every few months we know there are more and different products coming on the market, and they're unlabeled, and it's hard to find them. Even as seemingly what would be an expert in my field, it's very difficult for me to find them and to know and to feel like I'm feeding my children something that's not going to cause them problems.
There's a handful of products, but again, those are still just those handful of off-the-shelf products that are members of the non-GMO
project.
Yeah. But that's still, it's like, well, yeah, that's my jelly and my couple of things, but
products.
Like that's not everything.
That's not everything. And then, so what are we going to do then? Put labels on all of our lettuce and all of our cucumbers and all of our tomatoes? When does the madness end, really? And when will we as Americans, as humans on the planet Earth, decide that we're going to put corporate interests aside for the welfare and health of our planet, ourselves, and our children? And when are we going to say, I'm going to recognize the truth behind the argument that may impede what we perceive as the guiding principle for humanity, the mother of money? Why are we trading our future for short-term money, short-term profits, that eventually the means do not justify the end? And so I would just say that we should all consider ourselves as citizens on planet Earth, and do our part to change this broken cycle, this lie that we've all bought into, that we, oh, that labeling somehow costs money or it interferes with the market or whatever. It's ridiculous to think that. Listen, if telling the truth about a product causes money to be lost, well, then maybe the truth really needs to be told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's the truth that we absolutely can't not tell.
You know, and I see there's the fast food wage battle going on in the news right now. And that's another one of those situations where you would initially say, well, yeah, absolutely. And you start to think, but is that even something I want to fight for? Part of me just says, how about all that falls apart? Because it's not a healthy system anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that the people that have decided to put profits in front of health food, right? Profits instead of a quality product, like let's just assume the fast food industry does, and mm-hmm. I don't think anybody, even the fast food industry, would argue with that. Their bottom line is important to them. That's why it's fast and cheap and easy and drive through and whatever.
And the same everywhere.
Yeah, and don't be surprised when you find out it's not good for you. Duh. Like, really? So why are we surprised?
What did you expect from a 35-cent hamburger?
Exactly. Did you think that the person behind the counter was going to be paid something livable? Of course not. So it's a broken system. I think it goes back to a lot of broken systems. Can I take that on as my fight? No, I'm focused. Would I really love to see those fast food restaurants sell something like less fast and better? And, well, maybe it's still fast. I don't know. It just depends if you think it through properly. But my point with it is this. I think that that's a terrible thing. These people aren't paid a living wage. They probably can't even afford the foods that they're trying to sell. And I think that's sad. I think it's part of a bigger system where, again, we need to look at where are we putting our money, where are we putting our focus. I don't eat at those restaurants. I very rarely frequent them. It's if I have gone to a fast food restaurant in the last few years, it is out of sheer desperation on the campaign trail somewhere. You know, but I do feel for those folks because it's a very sad reality for many Americans, and those aren't kids anymore that are working behind the fast food restaurant. I mean, someone put up the average age of somebody working there is like 40. Like, wow. Well, there's change in the times for sure, right? Uh-huh. But again, why are we racing to the bottom of the barrel as a society when we could really be expecting better of ourselves and others? And we're not calling corporations higher. And I'm sorry, you know what? If they say to me they need to lay off workers in order to pay a few more, bullshit, because you already have as few people as you possibly can manning those registers and doing what you're doing. Time to cut into your corporate profits and kick down to the very people who give you an existence. And if you don't, your wheel is going to break because it is time of mass change amongst the human race, and we are no longer accepting the system by which we are handed. And if you don't change it, we will change it for you. We will cause you to either change and grow with the changing and growing consciousness of the people, or your cog, your wheel, will be broken. Plain and simple.
Tell me about the show.
Oh, okay. Google Hangouts are usually a little less intense than that, but we have our moments, mind you. It is an interesting mix because we have so many different moms from chiming in when they can, as they can. So it's always a revolving door of different folks.
So it's the weekly women's
GMO-free news. Yeah, so it's our weekly women's report on the GMO-free news.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's, like I said, it's a revolving door. There's a lot of great activists on there, moms wanting to make a difference. We may not have our opportunity on Nightline or NBC or CBS or any of these big stations, but
make your own.
We're going to make our own, exactly. And that's what I like what you're doing. It's exactly that. You know, we're carving out our space to be heard. So I always say in activism, like, if activism doesn't meet traction, you get frustration, which leads to depression and all kinds of really bad things. You got to find your traction. You got to find your success. If you don't, it's really not a great place to be, mm-hmm. you know? And so if you have a voice and you have something to say, find your way to be heard, because it's this idea that someone else will do it or that you should do it instead of I should do it is a very American and very sad way to go about society. Like, when I lecture, I throw it back at the community because, seriously, I'm one person. I have other people that volunteer with me, but I can't tell you how many times I've had 100 people come to me at a lecture and say, you know what you should do? And I say this, don't shoot on me, guys. If you are going to say you should, I want you to replace that with I should. Okay? Every time within what you say. And when you start doing that, things magically change in your life, in your work, and all around you. Mm-hmm. When you start taking ownership of the world that you live in and you become a citizen of the planet that you live on. And I would suggest there are a lot of people out there that feel that same way. There's frustrations. Like, we're at meetings, there's a dude talking about, like, you know, shutting ports down and this kind of stuff. Okay, that's not for everybody. No. That's not what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm an activist and my calling is through education, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that frustration. And I say find your traction in a way that doesn't put you in a jail cell. Because at this point, we recognize that as being behavior that's not fitting for the movement. And I say that, but I also understand that young person's frustration today. It's like, I get why we're at that boiling point. Don't boil over, boys and girls. Come with me. Don't get mad. Get even.
I think for myself, just as looking at all the other systems that I'm supposed to believe in, I have come to the conclusion that the old school, hell no, we won't go marching down the street, actually is maybe kind of a dead paradigm.
Yeah, calling corporations and government to a higher standard of care for what we do is probably a better way to go. But at the same time, I recognize that that will take 1,000 points of light. So that will take the young guy expressing his frustration in an activist way, in a means of finding success in his own interpretation of what that is. Same with me. Sometimes it's boycotts. Sometimes it's talking to legislators. Sometimes it's talking to moms groups. Sometimes it's holding a sign up or wearing a shirt or a button. Or maybe for some people, it's a matter of writing a check, and that's their contribution. All of those extremely meaningful things, of which this movement would be lost without all of them. And sadly, I see a lot of the burden on a few people and a lot of you should, a lot of shoulding going on. And that's terrible. No, please don't should on me. I won't should on you.
I think what's great is I think most people all find that once you start to take action and you start to be a producer and you know, I do my own media work. My day job is actually a talk radio producer.
Nice.
And that's a Monday through Friday live kind of gig. But I still get emails from people saying, you guys should do, why don't you get more into, and I know it was probably just a week ago, I wrote, it was like, why don't you look into it and then tell us about what you found?
Yeah.
And I think they kind of wrote back and were like, yeah, okay, maybe I will do that. And I think I then wrote them back again to say, yeah, sorry, like I didn't mean to come off as a jerk, but it can be hard sometimes when you feel like you get nothing but emails saying, why don't you do this? You should do it like this.
Yeah.
I think when people do get active, you suddenly realize, oh, I bet I probably should. I probably should on some people a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that anymore.
Too. Ew, I got to wash that out of my mouth. I find in this movement so far historically, and it is changing right now, this is a changing statement that I'm about to make, that there are a few people doing a lot of work. And they are doing it with limited or no resources. And they're effective, but they could be vastly more effective with a little bit of kind, constructive participation with people that even simply can just write a check or believe in them or make a meal for them or watch their kids for them while they go do something or whatever, even post on Facebook. And be careful of criticism, because I think a lot of the activists have heavy, heavy loads on their shoulders right now. We were just talking about that this morning, that we need to watch out for each other as women activists on the GMO-free news and elsewhere, that the amount of stress between trying to have a career, because I have a above full-time job. I run a company, and I have employees under me, and as always, it's a high litigious field that I work in, and contracts and so forth. And so I have to keep a sharp eye on that. So I work that day job, and then I have two children I watch, a house I run, a husband who flies in and out of the country for business. And it's like, you know what? I really could, if I let it drag me down, and really, it could be a recipe for disaster. And same with most of the moms that are doing this. It's not like we were always doing this. It's usually because there's some broken piece in our lives, some health crisis that's brought us to this. And we're watching a lot of other people have these health crises, and they don't know why. And sadly, I think the first assumable line of action is to see a doctor or to see a healthcare professional. And it's a again, so now we're back in that spiral of things that don't necessarily work,
mm-hmm.
and we're on the chemical wheel,
exactly.
and we're
exactly.
on the corporate
Kathleen
wheel.
And I talked about that.
Yeah, yeah, and so we're all back to that same thing that doesn't really work. It doesn't. It's not good for us or for you, and it's not sustainable. And so we have to really be mindful of that as activists and people, and just know that the people running things, man, sometimes they're running on fumes, you know. And sometimes the best thing you can do is that little help. You know, when I was on the campaign trail, one of the nicest things was when people opened their homes and let me sleep on their couch. When I helped put Prop 37's Healthier Eating Tour with Jeffrey Smith together. So we toured, toured him around. He's a lecturer. He talks about GMOs. He talks about the harmful medical effects of GMOs. And a lot of times people just open their homes because we had no money. The extra money for things like travel and hotels
just
did not exist.
Yeah.
The logistics did not exist. I mean, when you look at the budget for nonprofits that educate about GMOs is very, very low. Now, the budget that, let's just say, Bio has, which is the nonprofit organization that promotes the biotech industry, their operating budget is something like $60 million plus a year, and they have $60 million in holdings. I think if you took the combined net worth of all of the nonprofits working on this issue in the United States, you would find that you couldn't get cab fare for for the. Yeah, it's very it's a very small amount of money in shoestring, and you know what? Some of the best movements have been that way because they're purely nobody pays a paycheck for me. I work another job so that I have the luxury of being able to tell people about this.
I think what is so powerful about all of this is that I think the key to so much of it is actually not doing anything. In a way, is to stop taking part in a lot of
in
the systems, in the madness of it,
right.
And that no, it's not going to happen overnight,
right?
But you can start to. I mean, we're making these choices ultimately,
exactly.
And that's I think that's why it's going to be the personal revolution because it's going to happen in your fridge and in your medicine cabinet,
yeah.
And once you start going, I'm not doing, you know, once you fragrance free, like once you start to dump.
Right.
These things from your life, it starts to become more exciting in a way, and you want to keep stripping them away.
On a personal note, so I had breakfast with a bunch of activists, and we talk about how the shift happens within an activist. It's really wild how this goes. Your mind starts to open, your body starts to change, all kinds of things shift for you when you start getting involved in a movement that you care about, enacting your personal passion, whether that's about educating about GMOs or exposing child labor or whatever that may be. You start eliminating the things that don't work that are in your life, right? Then you start going, okay, I want to start looking at the things that do work, right? So, for instance, if you're talking about diet, like in our diets, we started saying, okay, well, out with the fast food, right? Okay, then, okay, well, then you go to your second step might be saying, I'm going to shift to organics. Then you go, okay, you know what? Now I think I'm going to go raw. Well, now I think I'm going to go completely, like, no processed foods. Now I think I'm going to start sprouting my grains and start eating macrobiotic and start, then you start incorporating superfoods, and then you start incorporating like wild crafted herbs, and then you just get this whole thing where you're able to do so much more and your mind is freed and enlightened and you start learning about the little nuances within your diet and mm-hmm. in your water and air and how you sleep and how to care for a human body, because the average activist, especially in this line of work, is an extreme. You have to run on an extreme high nutrient dense diet, and it evolves over time to where you're eating what most Americans would look at and go, why are you eating this weird food? But it gives you euphoria and it opens your mind to a place where you can do the job that you need to do. And it may seem odd, but I think it's like it's what people used to eat and they were capable of so much more. And sadly, our society has accepted the fact that instead of eating superfoods, they would much rather have a fast food lifestyle and have 20 medications and have all the suffrage that goes with that and a shopping cart that has a battery pack on it. You know, it's like, and you sit in, you know, it's like somehow that became the norm and acceptable and okay. And superfoods became weird and the activist lifestyle and caring and doing something, you know, I have to tell you on a personal note too, I had family members that they give me grief about being an activist. They always, this is their thing. Well, how much is that job paying you now? And I had to stop them and say, number one, it will never pay. I don't do it for pay. There's more to it in life than things that come with a paycheck. Some of the best things I engage in may never have a paycheck. Mm-hmm. But someday, great, if me or someone behind me gets a paycheck out of it and can make a living out of changing things for the better in this world, isn't that great? Isn't that good? You know? So, and I don't accept criticism of that kind. I'm sorry. You know what? Go criticism. Go find someone that will listen to that argument. It's not going to be me, you know. So
give us the website. The best way to get in touch with you, and the best way for folks to actually start to join in. And when do you do the show?
Oh, the you know what? You should talk to Jack. Jack coordinates everything, and he will tell you how to find it if you haven't already. It's kind of one of those things where you have to really look for it, and it's not really on a website, as opposed to more of a Google group.
That you're site. There in the moment.
Yeah, it's more of a social media thing. You can see it. We usually post those. They get posted out to different places in social media.
Okay.
And he'll be able to tell you how to tap in. To find me, I'm GMO Free Arizona. If you Google that, you'll find my name, Rachel Linden. I'm not easy to get a hold of. If you find me, you probably meant to talk to me. It's true. You can book things through our website, too, if you want a speaking engagement with myself or one of the people that we put on tour and so forth.
Great.
So. But yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.